This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tom Haberstroh is one of the absolute best reads or watches or listens, as the case may be, in the NBA, in sports media. He is an incredibly talented guy. I got to meet him for the first time back in 2010. We both covered LeBron. He was kind of hot takey, and I was very calm and chill. That is not true. And I love the fact that he comes on the show because I think he's awesome. Tom Haberstroh, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, man?
I'm wonderful. Spent my entire career working my tail off to get to this point where I could host a radio show and have people like you who are incredible on the air so I can answer my kids' questions. That's what it's come to. I love the power of FaceTime. My son hasn't gone to school yet. It's late arrival. Apparently, he found the controller, was watching YouTube, and found a game of Pig between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant that I watched half of in the break that he sent me. And he asked me a question I'm just going to pass on to you. He asked me this in his innocence. He said, Daddy, who's better, Steph or Kevin Durant? So I'll ask you, Haberstroh, unfairly, to tell me what to tell my kid.
Oh, I'm taking Steph. I think unanimous MVP. I think he's a guy who is warping defenses like no other player we've seen in NBA history. And he's an underrated defender. Is he KD defensively? No. But the way that Steph Curry completely warps a defense is insane. I mean, he is Shaq from 30 feet away. You know how Shaq, you would get the ball in the paint and you would have no choice but to throw your entire defense at him? That's what Steph does to a defense, but he does it when he's 30 feet beyond the arc, beyond the rim. And so I think when you talk about who's better or who's greater than the other, I'm going to take Steph. And you see it in this postseason when he's on the floor. The Warriors have the ceiling as high as any team in the NBA. And to me, Steph, the way that he has a slingshot from 30 feet away, he beats the Goliaths. He beats the KDs of the world. Even though they're 7 feet tall, he's got this slingshot, and he takes them down because he can do something that no one else in NBA history can, is get a shot off the dribble and get a shot off the pass and hit it with an efficiency that no one has ever seen before. The question I have is, what's this yips that he has at the free throw line? We saw last night he's having issues at the free throw line, and I think it's a very interesting storyline. He'll get over it soon, but to me, it's Steph Curry over Kevin Durant, even this season and for their careers. I'm taking Steph.
Tom Haberstroh on the show, and I'm just going to brag on Tom's behalf. For years, if you've watched hoops like I have, you've seen with your eye what Tom is describing, that the impact of Steph away from the rim and how it impacts everything. So you've watched it, you know it, and if you have the benefit like I do of getting to talk to NBA actual decision makers and people that do this for a living as sources, they describe it to you and tell you about it. Tom actually broke it down, like got into the numbers and the data in a great story. When was that, Tom? 3 or 4 years ago? I referenced that story, I would say, 3 times a month on this show.
Stephen Curry is, when he's on the floor, he improves not only the team's ability to outscore opponents, we know this, but the interesting thing is that he improves everyone else's shooting percentages too. And you see this with Luka. Is like Spencer Dinwiddie and Maxi Kleba, Reggie Bullock. These guys are getting wide open threes because of all that gravity that pulls defenders towards Luka. And so as soon as Luka gets by his first guy, he's getting open shots for his teammates in the same way that Steph Curry does. The issue, of course, for Luka is that he doesn't have a Klay Thompson next to him. He doesn't have a Jordan Poole next to him. And so Steph Curry, the reason why they were so good last night is because even though you feel like you've got Steph, you know, passing the ball on double teams, they still have other weapons around them that can really make it pay. So, you know, Steph Curry just, he's Shaq from 30 feet away, and it's really hard to describe numerically. I've tried to do it, but the best way to understand Steph is just to watch what the defense does when he has the ball, and you'll understand this is a once-in-a-lifetime type player, and it's just sensational that we get to watch him every night.
I love it so much. Tom Haberstroh on the show. All right, I'm glad you brought up Luka. So one of the things that I've learned the hard way in covering the NBA is not to overreact in the short term to what you already thought you knew in the long term. It doesn't mean that you're always going to be right. But I thought that this series, the Western Conference Finals, Tom Haberstroh, would be competitive. I thought it would be interesting. I thought and still think the Warriors will win, but I thought it would be closer than I might have guessed a few weeks ago. I'm personally not going to overreact to Game 1. I'm not worried about the Mavericks pushing it to 6 or more. When you look at what happened last night, and you couple it with whatever you thought was going to happen before tip-off last night, where do you stand on what you think happens in Game 2 and just going forward in this series?
I think the Mavs win in Game 2, and here's why. Luka Doncic, after a loss this season, is 21-5.
Wow.
21-5. And you might say to yourself, Bill, well, you know, maybe he was playing a soft schedule. He was playing a hard team the night before, and then the next team he just beats up because they're, you know, they're the bottom dwellers in the NBA. Well, even against the spread, so Vegas is accounting for the strength of your opponent. After a loss, Luka Doncic is 20-6 against the spread after a loss this season for a win percentage on that bet of 77%. In Vegas, you're hoping for 57% to be in the money. That's a 77% win percentage on Luka Doncic after a loss against the spread. It's insane what he's doing. I mean, if you took, basically, put it this way, Luka Doncic is like the Undertaker. You know that meme or the video when he's rising up from the coffin and the casket and he's just back alive in the WWF? That's what Luka Doncic is. Every time you count him out, he comes back and knocks you out. So Luka, you don't see that on any other superstar. If you look at their ability to bounce back and cover the spread after a loss, no one is in the class of Luka Doncic. He's processing information at a higher level. And even in the previous series we saw against Utah, they were down 0-1, and then they won the series, winning the 4 of the next 5 games against Utah. And then in the second series against Phoenix, they were down 0-2 against Phoenix and then won the next few games and won that series as well. So Luka Doncic, his ability to recover and to process information and to counter, there's nobody like it. And we're watching greatness at 23 years old. He is a supercomputer. He's Watson. He's IBM's Watson because he is just an ability to download information and process it and solve problems better than any superstar in the NBA.
At the risk, Tom Haberstroh, of writing the Mavericks off already, which I'm not doing, and moving on past this year's NBA playoffs, which I probably shouldn't do, but you make a point to me that is really interesting, and combining that with what you said about there's no Clay, what he's doing with the guys around him is incredible. When this is all said and done, and the Mavs are NBA champions this year, or they lose to the Warriors, or they make it and they don't win the finals, what does Dallas need to do in the short term or long term to try and get to optimize the pieces around this Watson from this IBM Watson computer that they have as their cornerstone?
Well, you know, on the Basketball Illuminati podcast that I do with Amin Alhassan on the Levitard and Friends Network, it's the secrets of the NBA, the information you can't get anywhere else on the NBA. You listen to that, but the Basketball Illuminati podcast, because we have Haralabis Vulgaris, one of the most famed NBA bettors ever, who worked in the Mavs front office precisely because Luka Doncic was on that team. And he figured, look, if I'm going to work for an NBA team and leave my gambling career behind, I'm going to need to be around a generational talent like Luka. And we asked him that question after working with Luka for the last couple of years, who is a prototypical tandem for him, the co-star for Luka Doncic? And he said someone that I thought was really interesting, Drew Holiday, was his answer. Because his ability to defend multiple positions, defend opposing point guards, and to score and basically do everything Luka can't do as a defensive player, I love that idea. He needs a co-star who's just a lockdown defender and an ability to shoulder some of the scoring. You saw in the Milwaukee Bucks series, he's not a number two. But someone like Kawhi Leonard would be perfect. Drew Holiday, these two-way superstars, Paul George, that can defend opposing point guards and relieve some of that pressure from Luka Doncic, I think would be fantastic. You need a spacer because, as you see in these playoffs, a guy who clogs up the middle and is in the paint, you don't want that guy. You want a five-out system, someone who can shoot and then defend on the other end. I think Drew Holiday and Kawhi Leonard would be perfect for this Dallas Mavericks team. It's just a harder thing to go get those guys.
That is such a – I'm so in awe of that Drew Holiday answer because – and I've been talking about this in the show. I had a lunch with a pretty impressive NBA, whatever, source person who works for an NBA team, and we talked about a bunch of stuff. And I had a salad. He had a bunch of drinks, Mr. Haberstroh. So he was pretty forthcoming. And I asked him that exact question, and the name he gave me was Drew – the only name he gave me was Drew Holiday as, like, the answer.
Look, that's why you listen to the Basketball Illuminati podcast, because we're going to give you information that even executives, the top drunk executives, will give you those answers to Bill Reiter. And
he was a little drunk.
I mean, that's what you got to do as a reporter, right, Bill? I mean, you got to lubricate a little bit and just basically get them to say things that they wouldn't otherwise. So you're smart professional in this industry. And I will say, there was a draft lottery this week, and if you want to have a lot of fun, go listen to the last two episodes, because we talk about the 1985 frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing and David Stern.
I love that.
It is really, really fun listen, and you get insights on these playoff series that you won't get anywhere else. And I think, Bill, we're Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, Golden State Warriors and Dallas Mavericks, we are in for a treat this conference finals.
I will say this in defense of this person. I would say half of the people in the NBA that are really good sources for me began with relationships that were very uncomfortable, or at least with organizations where those or stars of those relationships are uncomfortable. And so some of those folks just need to drink to be around me to transition. It's like turning a spy for me based on half the things that I say. Tom Haberstroh here on the show. Tom, how do you view Celtics Heat? Again, not going to overreact to game one. Heat winning that game to me was the very likely outcome for a whole bunch of reasons we discussed when it happened. What do you see from game two? What do you see going forward?
Larry, if he continues to do this, I think they have to be the favorites in this series. You know, Jimmy Butler has five games in which he scored 40 points or more in the postseason. He has zero such games in the regular season. This guy really shows up when the lights are brightest. And it's really amazing to watch how he is a guy who never took threes in the regular season, just did not want to shoot three balls, and then is shooting them at a pretty nice clip here in the postseason. It really opens up the rest of their game. You know, the Miami Heat are in a position where they have so much two-way contributions, whether it's P.J. Tucker, whether it's Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, that anything like Max Strus is just icing on the cake. They have so many two-way guys that really get in your face defensively and make life miserable for you, that a team like Boston really needs to go bonkers from downtown to really have a solid chance in this series. Like you saw in game seven against the Milwaukee Bucks and how many three-pointers they made and Grant Williams, they need more of that. And they're just not able to hit those shots in game one. Jason Tatum has to be better and not fade down the stretch like he did in game one. I expect Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to come back and give Miami Heat all they can handle in game two. But Jimmy Butler, the way that he's been playing, I would not bet against that guy.
Tom Haberstroh here on the show. One of many reasons to follow Tom on Twitter is the incredible insights he gives and the things he pulls up at Tom Haberstroh. Tom, I'm not going to misquote you. What is the record that you've cited that the Miami Heat now have since the Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, not best friends moment in that regular season game?
15-6. The Miami Heat are an NBA best 15-6 since the scuffle between Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler. it's an amazing thing. Like we actually talked about this on the Illuminati podcast. Is was this all a setup by Pat Riley? Like you know the Miami Heat organization, Bill, as well as anybody. You know that they are a team that loves the conflict, loves the adversity. It only makes you stronger. And part of me thinks that Pat Riley set up that whole Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra spat just so that they could get over it and get all that stuff under the bridge and move on. Because 15-6, their best NBA record since that, no one outside of Miami would have expected that, but you and I both know that that organization thrives on adversity, thrives on that conflict. And you saw the shoulder bump gate with Spo. And
oh yeah.
Old school. Remember that one?
Yeah. I do.
Dwayne Wade and Spo going at it in the huddle. And there's so many times in that first season that we saw, oh, they're going to just fold up like a lawn chair. And, you know, after that bump gate, they went on a run. And I think they went on to win the next two NBA championships after that rough first season. So, look, this Miami Heat team, 15-6 since that Jimmy Butler scuttle, I think you got to look at this organization and say they thrive on this adversity. They thrive when the lights are brightest. And outside of the bubble, Jimmy Butler has really just – taking it to another level, you know, dissuading all those people who said the Miami Heat run in 2020 was just a bubble asterisk season. You're seeing when those guys are healthy, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Miami Heat are so tough to beat.
Tom Haverstraw is so good at his job. Tom, as always, buddy, love the time. Appreciate the time. Will I see you at the NBA Finals?
I hope so, Bill.
All right, buddy. I'll see you then. Thank you, as always, man, for being on. You're great, as always.
All right, Bill. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.